Welcome to the Summit Church Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit summitsanmarcos.com.
I pray you leave here with a greater sense that God loves me, if anything you get in these next few minutes. Father, I thank you for that, and I ask you to do it in the name of Jesus. And we honor you, and we thank you, Holy Spirit, lead and guide every rabbit trail. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I'm good, I'm being nice, and everything. And, you know, how many of you saw, like, Gladiator? You see Gladiator? You see the Roman Colosseum when they showed it, like how it would have been all full of people, you know, full of people and the whole thing. Are you here? Okay, just picture that Roman Colosseum. Maybe you can imagine it, you know, and full of people, just. But it's not Gladiator in the ring. It's John. You say, well, I didn't read that in the Bible. Well. I think it was Tertullian said he's a really accurate early church writer. History shows John was in the arena. And they had him in the arena, but they had out in the arena like this boiling cauldron of oil. And here's John, 90-year-old John. Say 90-year-old John. And they're lowering John into the oil. 90-year-old. And they're lowering him in the last of the 12. He's the last of those original disciples, and he's still kicking at 90, and they drop him into the oil. And how many of you know it didn't turn out the way they thought it was going to turn out? They thought they were going to have a crispy critter. And they were really cruel. This was one of the cruelest emperors of the day. This was Domitian. Domitian was so cruel. He reigned about 15 years, and he was so cruel. The Romans even wiped out all the trace of him. They didn't even want anyone to remember what he had done and the horrid things that he did. And but he thought he'd come out and fried John in front of everybody, and instead John just stepped out of the hot tub. And they're looking at him, and John's like, I'm John, I don't boil in oil. Want to turn it up? Put some jacuzzi jets. Freaked the emperor out. Okay, this is church history. The majority of the people in the Colosseum got saved. I think they said that the early church writer said like the majority, like 90% of the people turned their... They watched a guy not burn, not boil. You can't boil him. What... Emperor side, let's fry somebody. Woo, tough. Man doesn't even burn in boiling oil. I want the hat. Don't boil in oil. Can't touch this. I don't know. Like, I'm going to be on this team. Tens and thousands. I said, I want to be on that team. It backfired on the guy. So now the guy doesn't know what to do. He's over here, and like in Gladiator, when it's like, we're going to kill him, and then they're like, oh, I can't kill Gladiator. What am I going to do? Ooh. So the emperor says, exile him. So they exile him to Patmos. Now, if you look at history, it's amazing. It's amazing. John comes out of the oil just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? They came out of the fire, but there was a fourth man in the fire, right? The fourth man in the fire didn't let the guy who wrote the fourth gospel stay in the fire. You could say, well, you know, you don't know what I'm going through. It's been turned up. And John was 90. I don't care how old you are. I don't care where you are in life. If God's got a mission for you, God's going to fulfill his mission. I don't care how hot. The devil turns up the heat. If God has a mission, you get to fulfill your mission. We just can't go under and give up. We need to get out. And John got out. And Jesus had a personal reason to keep John alive. And we talked about this before, that John had a ministry like no other of the disciples on this planet. And they even challenged him, like, why would he stay alive? Why, you know, why is he going to live? And we're all, you know, they were all martyred, but not John. It's like, what is it to you if... He lives. Jesus had a mission on the cross in John 19. Jesus said, Mother, behold your son, and he said, woman, behold your son. In verse 27 of John 19, he said to his disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own. Historical fact, John took her. They ministered a little bit on the circuit. He took her to Ephesus. John had a house right outside Ephesus above the temple where he resided, and Mary also had a house up there, and she lived and died there, and John took care of her till her death. And it's proven, and then they have it in one of the biggest churches. That church of Mary was, they built a church over the place where she lived, over her house. History, it's there, it's historical, it's pretty factual. They kept this going. What I'm saying to you is that John was to watch after Jesus' mom. So Jesus kept him alive, and he wrote the Gospel of John by this time because they believe he wrote it somewhere maybe at like 55 to 60 years old. Some people said, no, he wrote it when he was older, but it's not really, because the way that he wrote it as it was still standing, and Jerusalem got wiped out in around 70. So he did write it when he was probably somewhere in his 60s. So at about 60, he writes and pens the gospel. About 90, he's, you know, being boiled in oil, but he didn't get boiled. And I think Mary might have already passed by him. Here we don't know, but you know, just picture John all of a sudden knock on the door, and he's like 90 years old, and they're like, Romans are here, we're taking you to Rome. And he goes and stands before the Roman emperor, who was this wicked Domitian, one of the wickedest emperors there ever was. He orders John to burn incense to him. John refuses. He's like, I'm not going to burn incense. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he's like, I won't bow to you, and I'm not burning incense to you. Domitian was so sick and perverted that he believed he was a god and had all of Rome worshiping him. Didn't go over well with Romans' higher echelon, and didn't go over with John for sure, and Christians weren't going to do that. And so he's taken to the Colosseum. He wouldn't die. Then they take him, and they put him on another boat, and they send him back to an island a little bit off of Ephesus. I think it's about 20 miles off or 60 miles off the shores. And they take him to Patmos. Now, Patmos, you think, well, they took him to an island. He's just going to be... Patmos would be like a death sentence to the majority of people. Have you ever seen those, what are those things, shows, you know, like they put them in the wild, right? Okay, it's like that. They bring you to Patmos, no food, no water, they cut you loose, and it's an island full of murderers, rapists, that most crazy criminals are on the island, and political people, they want to be quiet. So the political ones go on, the political ones have an escort, and they try to probably get away from the other population. But basically, you're 90 years old. How do you think you're going to fare on the island? Even some people would die who are 20s or 30s because they don't know how to live on an island with no food, no water, no shelter. Are you here? How did John make... There was something else there in history. I believe it. History talks about this person that was with him, and that besides Jesus, of course, but John was about 90 and on his side. How many know Paul had Luke by his side when everyone forsook him? Luke was with him, right? Luke helped tend his wounds in prison. Luke stayed with him. Well, just like that. And even when Jesus was on the earth, you see all the disciples at 12, then there's 4, then there's 3, then there's 1, then there's John with his head on Jesus' chest. He's always hanging out with Jesus. It's like, well, in this situation, John had a man named Prochorus. And Prochorus was with John. And history puts him with John. And even on the island, they wept when John ended up leaving the island. And there's history there that's all documented that John was just he was rude on the island. Prochorus went with him. They went up to a cave, and he stayed in that cave and resided there for a while. Now, he's on Patmos, and some say Prochorus penned the book of Revelation as John dictated it to him. We know that Patmos is where John had... the encounter with Christ, and that's a whole nother sermon. I want to do that series again, if the Lord lets me. I did it like 5 years ago. I'd love to do something on that. But I may know that Patmos was like the modern-day Alcatraz. You ever been to Alcatraz? Not like in prison, but like to visit. Everybody's like, ugh. How many been to Alcatraz? It's awesome, right? And how many have seen the movie Count of Monte Cristo? The island was like the Count of Monte Cristo. But it wasn't like in a prison. The whole island was the prison. But it's just like rock and very hard to find fresh water. So John was basically put on like an Alcatraz. He's basically, he survived 18 months at 90 years old. That's pretty good. Prochorus helped him, and I believe, I don't think he would have made it without some kind of help, but God intervened and sent him. Prochorus voluntarily was exiled with him to the island. Pretty huge. John made it 18 months. Now, the emperor's over here, fry him. He doesn't fry. Send him to Patmos. And you know what he's thinking? Those murderers will murder John. Ha, my oil didn't do it, but you're going to get, right? How many know you sow what you reap? Do you know within 18 months, the Emperor Domitian's own crew assassinated him? So he dies after he's assassinated. John's released from Patmos and brought to his house back up on the hill in Ephesus above the city, where he could have these people from the other parts, these pastors, come up and he could apostolically bring apostolic instruction and to teach and preach for Christ. Because how many know Jesus wasn't done with him? How many know that he still had some stuff to do? How many know John had a great writing debut in the book of John, but how many know Revelation was still coming? So Jesus kept him alive. He does Revelations, and then, whoa, and here we have this great book. And so I gave you a little bit of history just to take you back to where we're going, because I think what I really want to do is I took you to the end so I could take you back to the beginning. And I really want to just focus on the first five verses in John, because they're so awesome that I don't even think we could unpack more than five verses and really close without going into dinner. So, how many of you know when a bride has a ring and she has a diamond and it sparkles, it's beautiful, isn't it? And you catch the light off of one part of the diamond, but if you move, there's another part, another part, another part. Today, I really feel like John shows all these different parts of this beautiful side of Christ, of who he is. And if we'll capture who he is from these multiple aspects of who he is, we get to know who we are and his great love. And so I want to look at that. John called himself the disciple who Jesus loved. My mom had 10 kids, and you know, and my family growing up, you know, I was the sixth child in there, and mom had a favorite. I know I can't. My brother was here last service. He just had to live with it because I had the mic. But, you know, what can I say? But if she would have told everyone I was her favorite, she would have been in, it would have caused some trouble. So she just didn't tell them. John's writing his own gospel. He says, the disciple Jesus loves. And all the rest of them are going, wait, what about me? Are you with me? Can you say you're the disciple Jesus loves? Can you say you're that favorite? Now, I know I'm messing with things and I'm having fun, but I always claim I'm mom's favorite, and I'm dad's favorite, and your dad's favorite, and your dad's favorite, your dad's favorite, your dad's favorite. How could we all be dad's favorite? I don't know, but that's the way it is. And John said it, and he started the whole deal by saying, I'm the disciple Jesus loved. And he wasn't saying he didn't love the others, but he was saying, I know I'm loved. And when we settle our identity and we know we're loved, we get to know who he is, then we get to know who we are. Then the world will know him better when we know who we are in him. Yes. And so how do you see yourself is the question. And can you say, I'm the disciple Jesus loved? Who is Jesus to you? You know, we have Matthew. Awesome. We have Mark. Last week we looked at Luke. Wow, stuff in there. Can I tell you, Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell about Jesus history. John writes about Jesus mystery. It's the way it is. Look at him. It's a historical event. Tells about the mystery. Okay. Thousands of years, hundreds, generations. Here's this mystery that of Christ, and John reveals it. So I want to tell you that. I want to show you that. If Luke was like an artist painting it, I think John was like the master photographer who just... So let's look at a few snapshots at who we are from the eyes of the disciple whom Jesus loved. Number one, John introduces Jesus as the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. John's first introduction of Jesus as the Word, he's saying the Word is the Word became flesh. Later you can look in John 14, I guess I'm creeping beyond the first five verses. He says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace, full of truth. What he was saying is he was saying, see, you need to understand this, that in the Old Testament, they personified wisdom in Proverbs 8. I love it. Doesn't wisdom cry out and understanding lift up her voice? She takes her stand on the top of the hill. And so with this understanding, what John was doing was John was taking, and he was calling Jesus the Word, but John is identifying Jesus as the full embodiment of the Word that he's calling out to the Jewish people so that they could read and understand. Jesus was the summation of all the Word that they'd known in the law, that they'd memorized as kids, that they studied, that they tried to live up to and couldn't live up to all these rules and regulations. But Jesus was the embodiment of the entire Word that came to flesh and was made flesh. I know, that's what they were doing. Like, that's like, think on that one. Whoa. And he brings this revelation, and he knew, because you see, you need to understand too that the Jews really believed that wisdom had a beginning and had a starting point. So in creation, in Genesis 1, right, God created, right? And wisdom had that created, that point, right? John blows a hole in that. And John is saying wisdom wasn't created with man was created and wisdom was created. He's saying, John is saying it different. He's saying, and there is a beginning with us, right? We all had a beginning. In Genesis 1, it talks about us. We had a beginning, right? Say amen. Please, somebody agree with me. We had a beginning, but this was stretching to the Jews because he was saying that Jesus was all of that, that Jesus was the Word, that he was wisdom. And that it wasn't a starting point because Jesus was there at creation. Thus, wisdom didn't have a starting point like they believed that wisdom actually had no starting point because it was there with God at creation. That's a small point, but it's important for them, the audience. Number two, John introduces Jesus as God. He introduces the doctrine of the Trinity. Now, this is in the first verse. John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Boom. That's another rocker. That's like, whoa, look at that sparkle. Jesus was God. Jesus, look at him. He's not just a prophet. He's not just, who do you say that I am? Who do we see that he is? Jesus is God in the flesh. And this points right back, and actually John 1 points right back to Genesis 1. And John introduced, number three, John introduces Jesus as creator. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, right? He just said he's the creator, and without him, nothing was made that was made. Wow. And so he pointed right back, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. He's saying it right from the beginning. He's saying he was God. He's putting out the Trinity. He's saying he was the creator. He points right to it, and he says Jesus was there at creation because he is God in the flesh. He is part of the Trinity. He is the Son. He is God in the form of the Son. Just saying. And number four, John introduces Jesus as the life. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. And so he talks about that. He's introduced to the Trinity. He introduces him as God. He introduces him as creator. And now he introduces him as life. And he says in verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. He didn't say life started. For us, it started at creation because we started there. That was our starting point. But he said, in him was life. Therefore, life was in him there. So life was there prior, but it was in Christ. Life came, and now he's saying life came out of him. So if you think about that, if life came out of Jesus, everybody's looking. Jesus says, get a life, right? Yeah. And people are like, you know, they're looking for life. I'll find life. You know, they're looking for love in all the wrong places. They're looking for it in a bar. They're looking for it in through knowledge. They're looking through just name it how people are trying to find life. They're trying to find, you were created, and now you're trying to find life. Where better to go to the source? If you want, you go to the source, trace it back to the source. And John opens his book, and in these first five verses, he just points right back to Genesis. He goes back to first mention. He nails all these things in the first five verses that are amazing, that all point to Jesus as God, as the deity, as life. And as he's saying this, it's so powerful because they're looking for life, and he's pointing to Jesus, and he's saying, here, John was there at the cross when he died. How could Jesus be the source of life? Because they killed him. How could this be? That rocked John's theology. John's rocked. He's there at the cross. He's still standing there when everybody bails. He's there with the ladies. He's still there. Kill me if you want to kill me. Do your best. But I'm here. This is my Lord and Savior, because he's the only one there when he says, John, here's your mother. I'm sorry. John, to Mary, here's your son. Son, here's... When he gave it... Are you with me? John was there at his death, and it rocked him. But John was also there when the tomb was empty. And John was there to see Jesus after he rose. John was there when he said, hey, check out the holes in my hands and the hole in my side. Hey, I've not ascended yet. John was there when that happened. Then John was there when he came back. John was there when he ascended into heaven. John was also there on Patmos when Jesus comes back, glorified, beaming, eyes of fire, glowing skin, glory flowing out of him. The Jesus we're going to go see in heaven, the glory Jesus. John knew that Jesus. And that was later. It was coming. Are you with me? But here's John. Oh my goodness. And he's saying something. Jesus, Mark, and Luke didn't get. John stayed around all the way to Patmos. Jesus kept him around because Jesus saw this powerful disciple who loved so good. He knew, I can give you a revelation because of your great love. And love manifests. Revelation manifests from love. And when you really know and love God, you'll get revelation from God. I want a revelation. I want to be a prophet. I want to be a seer. I want to see angels. I want to see this. I want to see that. I want to see this man. I want to know that. I want to know this. I want to know that. How about you just focus on being a good lover of God? How about we just get our head on Jesus' chest and listen to his heartbeat? How about I get to know who he is and just get that, and out of that, I'll get revelation. Because revelation flows out of that love. And he knew, I'm going to keep John, and I'm going to give him this revelation of all of Revelation, even the message to the seven churches. I'm going to show him these things. Because Jesus' heart beats for his church, and he showed that he loved his church. And we're going to look at that next week a little bit, how he was in the midst of it and cared about the remodel. He wasn't a distant guy writing checks saying, go ahead, fix it, go ahead, whatever. Do we want yellow? Do we want blue? Whatever, just do it. He was in there in the mix in the remodel in Revelations. He was seen in the midst. Jesus cares about his remodel. He cares about you. John, there's too much. John, he's so awesome. And then I want to talk about the birth of a disciple. There was a starting point at creation, but also John shows the birth of the disciple. John shows the commissioning of Christ as disciples. Does anyone want to look at that? He commissioned him. How did he commission him? He commissioned him with the breath of life. Jesus breathes on his disciples and he gives them the Holy Spirit. You say, well, that's Acts 2. Well, go to John 20 first. In the same day in the evening, first day of the feast, when the doors were shut, disciples were assembled at the feast. Jews came and stood in their midst, and he said, peace be with you. Jesus goes in, tells them, peace be with you. But something powerful happened in verse 22, John 20, 22. I'm not saying we don't need the Holy Spirit. We need that, but we need to be birthed and born again and then walk in that fire of the Holy Ghost. And Jesus is showing the birth of a disciple, and he's reflecting it. Verse 22, when he said this, he breathed on them. What did he say? Verse 21, Jesus said, peace to you. Okay, let's just all peace, kumbaya, hold hands around the campfire. That's what it's about. No, he said, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. That's your commission. So he commissions. Well, I don't know what to do. There's so much to do. I don't know. There's so much. As the Father sent him, I send you. As he sent Jesus, so as Jesus did, we do. Just say, as he did, I do. That's your commission. Then he breathed on them, and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, why did Jesus do that? Why didn't he just let the Holy Spirit come in Acts? Why did we need John 20? What? And he said in verse 22, he breathed on them. Do you know the word he breathed? It's only there in the Greek, in the New Testament. This word is only there, but it's in Genesis 2:7. It's the same word when he said in Genesis 2:7. The word means to breathe or to blow with force. In Genesis 2:7, it says, and the Lord formed man out of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Jesus just takes his disciples, he commissions them, and he breathes life. Jesus birthed us to be disciples. He commissioned us, released us. Then he said, go wait in Jerusalem for power from on high. You're going to rock the world. Whoa. And John just happened to have his cell phone, so he took a picture. And he's giving it to us right here. That's all. And yeah, he put it on Snapchat. And Ezekiel 37, it says, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus saith the Lord, come forth four winds. O breath, breathe on these slain that they may live. Prophesy breath. I don't know about you, man, but you know, I'm hanging out with some people and they look like a bunch of old dry bones. Prophesy to the breath. Oh, they're not all dry, but they're all scattered, man. It's like herding cats. I can't get these guys to do anything, Pastor. They're like, what did Ezekiel look like? They were scattered bones. They were dry bones. Well, I don't know, man. I'm dealing with people. I'm in the transformation center, and they need sozo so much. I need a sozo from doing sozos. They're dry. They're fragile. They're lifeless. What do you think those bones look like in Ezekiel 37? What was the answer? And he breathed life, and he's still commissioning disciples to this day. Receive that breath of life as he commissions us. Number five, John introduced Jesus as the bread of life. He doesn't just birth babies and leave them. He sustains them. Jesus births us. Then Jesus sustains us on the bread of life, as the bread of life. And he went on to say, and he's saying, you know, he's talking about it, and he's saying, is this the work of God that you believe in him whom he sent? Therefore, he said, what sign will you perform? They're trying to say, show us a sign. He's saying that we may see it and believe it. And Jesus is like, come on, guys. It's not about you seeing, then you believing. He told him, he's like, hey, Moses did not give the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you true bread from heaven. He's like, me. Verse 33, for the bread of God is he who comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. And they said, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said, I am the bread. Come on, guys. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall not thirst. Jesus was telling him, John, it says believe 100 times in John. He's telling us believe, 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 believe. Look at this, believe. Look at that, believe. Look at this side, believe. Let me tell you more of the mystery so you can believe. Have you ever been watching a mystery and you're like, I'm clueless, and someone else is like, oh, that's a clue, that's a clue, that's a clue. And you're like, tell me what the clue is. Shh, shh, shh. Tell me what the clue is. Shh, shh, shh. Don't go to the movies with Dom, I'm telling you. But anyway, you know, trying to watch. No, John just reveals them all. John's whispering in your ear, here's another clue, here's another clue, here's another clue, here's another clue. Read John and go, and look at the mystery, and it's like, whoa. Say, wow. Say it backwards, wow. Rewind, say it again, wow. It's awesome. Say it forward, wow. John is awesome. And he says, and it's so good, because Jesus is just like, he's crying out as a parent who wants to feed his starving children. He's saying, I am the answer to world hunger. Jesus is inviting us to know him and come to him daily. He wants us to know him and know who he is. John's revealing the mystery of who Jesus is. He's like, I found him and I want you all to know. You got all these historical events, but now I'm going to reveal the mystery. Oh. And number six, John introduces Jesus as the resurrection and the life. Now it's like, man, I understand doctrinally, that's what they did. You know, Jesus is like, okay, just face it. You know, they were bummed because Jesus was their friend. And when he heard Lazarus is dying, he said, the sickness is not under death in John 11:4. And then, and Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. So he's ministering, doesn't go right away. He's only 2 miles away. And after this, his disciples said, let's go. He says, let's go to Judea again. And they're like, dude, they want to kill you there. And Jesus is like, come on, let's go. And he said, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go to awake in verse 11. And they're like, well, if he's asleep, he'll wake up. And Jesus says, no, not really. He said plainly, Lazarus is dead, okay? And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there so that you may believe. It's all back to believe. If you don't get I believe out of John, you miss the mystery. But let him reveal it so you can believe and so other people could believe. And then Thomas is like, let's go die with him. He's like, awkward, oops, okay, awkward moment. They're like, he's dead. John's just like, let's go die with him. Anyway, I mean, not John, but Thomas. It's like, okay, whoosh, whoosh, moving forward. It's like, mute him, go forward. And he'd been in the tomb 4 days. Verse 18, Bethany was near, only 2 miles away. And Martha, as soon as she heard Jesus was coming, she wept. And she went out and she met him, sorry. And Mary was sitting in the house. Martha says, Lord, if you had been here. She's like, if you were here, what's up? You're late. Jesus is like, hey, Jesus said, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, she said, I know whatever you ask God, he'll do. And Jesus said, your brother will rise again. Martha said, I know he'll rise in the resurrection at the last day. Pause. Doctrinally, we know stuff. We know he'll rise then. And Jesus is like, I'm glad you've got good doctrine. But can you bring it into today? Ooh, another mystery. It's not just about the destination. It's about the journey. It's not just the resurrection then. He's not just the good Lord then. He's the good Lord now. He's not just the one who gives life at the end of our days because we have good doctrine. Because I made a confession. He's the one who brings life today. He's the one who wants to be in your daily life. Every day you get to like hook up. And Jesus says, she says, it's doctrinally correct. I know he'll rise in the last day. Verse 25, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? It's our question. It's our question today. Do we have a doctrine of later or do we believe it now? And he says, and she says, yes, Lord, I believe that you're the Christ, the Son of God who came. She had one of those moments. Yes, I believe it's for now and for tomorrow. But in her now, her brother died. In her now, everybody's mourning and wailing and crying and weeping. And she's like, it's really sad over there. And I'm out here with you because I needed to get out of there anyway. It's like, and Jesus is like, and something great's going to happen. And then Jesus demonstrates his authority, and we're not going to get into that. But we know he raised Lazarus from the dead because Jesus will come in and bring life into today. And he's not just the one who raises the dead here. He raises the dead for eternity. He raised him, but he's not either or, he's both. He raised him now, and he's also going to go on to eternity. Jesus said, let's get our doctrine straight for eternity. Yes, I am the God of eternity, but I'm the God right now with resurrection power in your today. I'm the God right now that you get to know and to represent, and the mystery gets revealed, and we're like, okay, I got it. And we get to meet that source of life daily. We get to bring it into whatever our death is today. I just died because I thought I was going to pay all my crew. And then basically the person who was giving me the check for my payroll pieced out. And you're a business person. And you're like, okay, I'm in a death right now. Is he the one of resurrection? Can he do a miracle? Will he come through? You don't understand. My professor's all over my stuff. Rejected my paper. Blah, blah, blah. It's prejudice against me totally. My son had it happen. My son kept saying, hey, what about this? And the professor like flunked him out of the class and gave him a B instead of, and he gave him a B minus. He needed a B or better because that was his major, because Jesse stood up to say something to him like, aren't you going to teach the class? This is graphics. This isn't about this. And the guy like politically came all over him. It's like maybe you're in a dark hour where all of a sudden your world's crashing because everything, your plan, your dream, somebody turned up and they come in. Somebody's trying to throw you in some oil. The hate, the temperature's getting turned up and the heat's going up. But wait a minute, we're on the don't boil in oil crew, aren't we? Those guys can weep over here. Oh, you're going to die. You're going to die. You're going to die. No, we're in the I don't boil in oil. Got the bumper sticker. It's on my Facebook page. Huh? Count of Monte Cristo. Do your worst. Jesus. And the last one, John introduces Jesus as the light. He said, come on, why the light? It's all in progression. He lays it all out. He builds on verse 1, 2, 3, 4. And in verse 5, he says, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. This is building on what he said in these verses before. Darkness did not comprehend it. And it's a play on words, but because it could mean, in the NIV, it says darkness didn't understand it. Okay, all right. But it also means, or did not overcome it. And I think better that one. The darkness and light are engaged in this mortal combat. But can I tell you the word that he chose here is comprehend, and that word's a compound word. The first part's kata, and it means force. Kata, it's like if I speak fire. It's like, okay, wait, that's fight. But no, this is Greek. And it's kata, force or dominating. It means a dominating force. So this word, if you put it to, it, well, the first part is dominating force. The second part of this word is lambano, and it means to tackle, to conquer. Have you ever seen the best tackle in a football game where you're like, ooh, oh, or, you know, like slam, to conquer, to hold under one's power. Somebody's just like, you know, got you under their foot. And what he's saying is, if you put this together, he's saying is darkness doesn't have the ability to suppress or to hold the light under its power. Just like John testified. Nice jacuzzi. Do you have anything hotter? Can get a towel? Get him out of here. Send him to Patmos. Darkness does not have the power. Ho, it's got a smackdown. Poosh. I'm on the ground feeling darkness. Dark. I heard someone say, darkness has no power. Darkness has power, it doesn't have authority. Darkness does have power, it doesn't have authority. Jesus took the authority away. Darkness has power. There's power of darkness. If you don't, whole another sermon. There is a spiritual attack. We need to be aware that there's power. There's a battle between light and dark. Darkness has power. It doesn't have power over. You can knock me down, but you can't knock me out. Paul said it clear. Paul said it. He said it in his whole, that whole long, beautiful passages in the scriptures as I preached on Paul's things that he went through. He's like, I may be knocked down, but I'm not knocked out. They may put me, but they can't overcome me because darkness cannot hold it down. And John saw it because they had Jesus down, and he, death, hell, and the grave couldn't keep Jesus in the grave. And now he's inside of you. And now he can't hold you down. Oh, I'm getting old. Oh, I'm feeling scattered. Gather them. I commission my disciples, and then I empower them. He can't take you out. You're more than a conqueror because Jesus is in you. But I have these insecurities. Yeah, in you, you have insecurity, but in him, you're made all sufficient. But I battle with this. We all battle with that because there's flesh and there's spirit. And we all have a flesh and we'll battle it until we get to be with Jesus. But how many know we win? It's kind of cheating. We're on the side of the don't boil in oil. We already win. We know the end of the game. All we can do, they can throw attempts. They can knock us out. They can throw blows. They can oppose us. The only way we can lose is if we give up and just sink down in the oil. It's 90, I'm done. I've been fighting. I've been battling. Are you kidding me? All that I've been through, man, I took care of your mom, and now they got me, and they're throwing me in boiling oil. I've done all, I'm 90. I'm just going to just go under and breathe my last. Is it canola? What oil is this? Is it non-GMO? What kind of oil before I breathe it in? I'm gonna eat some worms. It's like, I'm gonna go under. Just don't give up. Because darkness does not have dominion unless we give it. And he's saying, this is the one in us. And I gotta land it. Here we go. He reveals it. He's telling us Jesus had this. He abolished it. 2 Timothy, Paul supported it when he said in 2 Timothy 1, verse 10, he said, now it's been revealed by the appearance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He appeared, now appearing, who abolished death. I want to see that one. Death blow to death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Woo! And then John, he brings the purpose all around in John 17. He says, Jesus is just praying, and he does this whole discourse in 13 through 17. Before 18, he goes into the garden. But before the garden, he lays out these beautiful chapters. And in 17, Jesus is praying. He says, I don't pray for these alone. Okay? Say these alone. Hold up your Bibles, which is probably your iPhones or your droids. Whatever. It could be that one. Just point. Okay, not just the ones in the book. I don't pray for these alone. Say for me. That's what he said. But also those who will believe in me through their word. We're going to talk about that next week. What's that look like? What's that makeover look like? What's that revealing? What's this makeover about? That they may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they may also be one in us. That's part of the mystery. That the world may believe that you sent me. Here's the believe again. Believe. Here's purpose. If we don't have purpose, we won't make it. We need to be purposed. The world needs to believe. And look what he says in 22. And the glory which you gave me. Say glory. Look what he says. I have given them. If I only had the anointing that Matt has. He gave Matt this anointing. If I only had the anointing Cassandra has in dance. If I only could pray like Susan Taylor. If I could only, you know, and we could lay it all down. If I was only as artistic, you know, No, he gave you the glory. And he's saying right here the same. That he said, I have given them that they may be one as we are one. He said, the glory which you gave me, I have given to them. He breathed on us. He birthed us. He commissioned us. And now we get to receive that Holy Spirit and walk in that power. And just as God was with him, we get to be with him. That's part of the mystery. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And now, because the Holy Spirit fills us, we have this relationship with that one. We get to be one like Jesus was, who tilted his ear and said, what, Father? And then he like did crazy miracles. We get to do that. We get to be like Jesus was on the planet. And the same glory that he repped, we get to rep. Are you with me? And John knew this. And then he said this, and I'll close here. Look at 23. Oh, actually, I'm going to go down to 26, so I got more clothes than a real estate agent. Here we go. 23. And have loved them as you have loved me. Okay, John had something. Look at it. Jesus said it. You've sent me and have loved them as you love me. You know why I can say I'm God's favorite? Because he loves me with the same love he loved Jesus. If he loves me with the same love he loves Jesus, then I'm his beloved. If you don't get this, you just throw the rest of the sermon away. It's like basically this is the cherry. I like the cherry on the top before I eat the sundae. He loves you with the same love he loved Jesus. If we get that, And then he says this in 26, and I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love which you loved me may be in them and I in them. It was all about his, commission. It's all about his Holy Spirit. Just stand and just lift your hands for a second. Holy Spirit, just do your commissioning to those who don't feel the commission as he sent Jesus. He said, I send you. Just receive your commission. Just receive. Just ask him. Say, Holy Spirit, fill me. I already did that. Oh, wait a minute. No, you can do it again. Say, Holy Spirit, fill me. You can see multiple accounts. He breathed on them. They still went to Acts and still got Acts chapter 2. Are you with me? So say, Holy Spirit, fill me. Fill me fresh. I've been commissioned. I am loved. I am the disciple whom he loves.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Be sure to visit summitsanmarcos.com for other exciting content from Summit.
Try and thirsty limb, you give up your mercy.